Hallelujah. Amen. We are just blessed of the Lord to be able to gather together with you today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Lord is preparing a special people. The Lord is preparing a peculiar people for these end time days. You know, brethren, we are living in the last days. We are living in the very last of the last days of this age. Amen. This age is coming to an end. It's coming to a conclusion. And this world is going to go through some very, very traumatic times. But God has a provision for you. A provision for you and me. Hallelujah. He has a place for us. Hallelujah. I want to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, if you would with me today. Hallelujah. I want to read beginning in the first verse. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein.
I just paraphrased it.
Oh, you didn't have, okay.
Excuse me.
There we go. Revelation 11, the first verse. John is a man who was writing this book. An angel from heaven appeared to him. And the angel from heaven gave to John a man. Now, this is not an angel that is being asked to measure the temple of God. This is a man who is being asked to measure the temple of God. And this is a message that John has given to the church for those who will hear what God is saying. God is saying to men and women who gather here today that He wants us to do an examination. He wants us to measure something. Now, I don't really relate to reeds and rods as a measuring tool. It's quite old. If he were writing to me today, he would probably hand me a measuring tape.
Sukanan
probably pull the tape out a certain distance. He would probably lock it in a position and he'd hand it to me and say, "There, measure the house of God." And having been a man familiar with the use of measuring instruments, I would know what I was supposed to do. So he said it was a reed that was like a rod. Now, the rod is the thing that Moses carried in his hand. Sometimes he called it his staff. But when Moses came before the Lord and complained that he didn't have any power, the Lord said to him, "What is that that you have in your hand?" In other words, Moses, you go ahead and use what you've got. And you very well know the history of Moses and the power that was manifest through that rod. Well, what does that rod speak of? What does that rod signify? It's a sign of authority, is it not? Hallelujah. Amen. When Esther came before the king, he had a scepter in his hand. If he favored her coming, he would hold the scepter out. It was a symbol of the authority that the king had. He could use that authority in any manner that he chose. With that rod, he could favor the queen. Or he could do her much harm. And so God has given to the church a rod, a measure of authority, and a means of which we will examine the house of God. He said to him, "Rise. Rise and measure." In other words, in order to rise, you have to be in a low place and you have to come up to a higher realm. So from whatever position you have been in, maybe you've been sitting back. Maybe you've just been sitting down and saying, "Well, somebody else can do the job." Maybe you've been saying, "Well, who am I to take this word of the gospel out to the nations? Who am I to pray the prayer of faith? Who am I to lay hands on the sick? Who am I to have authority over devils and spirits? Who am I to reverse the curses that have been put on people?" And oh, brethren, there are many curses that have come upon the people. Amen. But I tell you, God is saying in this hour, rise up. Not only have we been sitting back, but some of us have been laying down on the job. Oh Lord, I don't have enough strength. Oh, I'm too weary. Oh, I have too many problems. Oh, too many terrible things have happened in my life. God could never use me now. Look how I sinned. Look how the many mistakes I made in my life. You know, brethren, I think it was the worst time in my whole life that the Lord called me to begin to preach the Word. You know what I said to him? I said, where were you 10 years ago when I really wanted to do this? Where were you? Where was this call when I had all this youthful energy and fire in me? You know, and I said, Lord, nobody will hear the word that I can bring. He didn't argue back. But I remembered that I made a promise to the Lord a long time ago. And I said, Lord, I will never say no to you. How many of you have ever said, no, Lord? Have any of you ever done that? Come on. Nobody has ever said no to the Lord? Do you know that those two words don't belong in the same sentence? In the English, we call it an oxymoron. Amen. Hallelujah. The word Lord means that He's the boss. He's the master. When you come before the Lord, you bow before Him, you do obeisance, you indicate that you will obey anything that He asks. How can you possibly say no and Lord together? Hallelujah. And so, rise. Amen. Throughout the Word of God, He's asking us to come up higher. Oh, let us climb the hills of Zion to the city of the living God. Do you know that song? Do you know that song? Come, let us climb the hills of Zion to the city of the living God. What does that mean? It means you're going to have to come up higher. There is a higher realm of authority that God has for us. But He's waiting for us to overcome where we are. Come on, how can you want resurrection power when you haven't been moving in what you've got? How many of you want resurrection power? Resurrection power. Do you know how you get resurrection power? You have to start by dying. You can't have resurrection until you've had death. You're going to have to die to your old Adam nature. You're going to have to die to the old flesh. Flesh does not want to die. Adam does not want to die. If ye then be risen with Christ, what are you going to do? You are going to seek. You are going to seek. If ye then be what? If ye then be down with Christ, that's a good place to start, buried with Christ. But you don't stay buried with Christ. You resurrect. Hallelujah. So he said, rise and measure. Now, how many of you enjoy being measured? Well, in the natural, you stand up against the wall and we put the tape measure up and it... How do you measure? In meters? Centimeters and things like that?
Yeah, meters.
Okay, so they tell you how many centimeters tall you are. Then the doctor puts you on the scale and we find out how many kilograms you are. Amen. You're going through the examination, aren't you? But you know, God is putting us through an examination, and it's not how tall we are and it's not how much we weigh. He's not measuring the girth around our waist. He's measuring what's in our heart. You know, brethren, if you heard the word this morning, the light of God was moving through your heart. The light of God was exposing darkness. When brother was talking about the spirit of Dagon, talking about sexual sins, these are things that people hide in their heart. This isn't the only thing that God is examining in this hour. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pride. Pride. God is, you know, brethren, the spirit of pride, the spirit of lust, the spirit of Dagon, these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If these things remain in your house, it will not be the kingdom of God. Envy, strife, hatred. Hallelujah. These things we cannot carry in. You know, God is examining the motives of our heart as well. You know, I'm remembering one of the things as to how do you deal with, what is the term mammon? Is it unrighteous mammon? Am I using the right term? The what?
Mammon.
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 Money.
Yeah, money. That's money. The love of money.
Yes. In other words, some of God's servants were being examined as to how they would deal with that. Would they be faithful?
Ang Diyos nagalantaw sa mga alagad sa alagad niya kung unsa niya pagdala niya ng mga butanga na salapi kung nasa iya.
You know, God is going to allow you to have all kinds of temptations.
Ang Diyos magpaabot sa tanang klase ng mga pagsulat.
And you're going to have to overcome all of them. Let me just give you an example. Brother Martin and Brother Thomas are from the Czech Republic.
Martino si Thomas.
When we went to the Czech Republic about 1990 or thereabouts, it was a land of extreme poverty. They had been under the heel of communism, crushed them down, held the people in bondage. Most of the people we knew had no jobs, no income, didn't own house, didn't own cars. You could not believe, driving down the streets of Prague, buildings, shops closed, no business going on. We came back some years later and suddenly we saw that things were changing. And I remember thinking to myself, well, they have been tested with poverty. I wonder now if God is going to test them with prosperity. I wonder if they will pass the test of prosperity. You know, many people can't handle that. We have these lotteries in America. And I guess for a dollar you can buy these tickets. It's a chance of about a 1 in 20 million that you could win anything. But every now and then somebody extremely poor wins millions of dollars. Do you think that makes them happy? They live happily ever after from that on? No, it doesn't. These people, it ruins their lives. Hallelujah. Now, it says here, rise and measure the temple of God. Let me ask you a question. What is the temple of God? Did I hear somebody say your body?
Yes,
that's the temple of God. So in other words, we have two answers to this question. That's the one answer. What is the other answer? Alright, that would be part of you. Alright, that's an individual. Our body, our heart, me, who I am. But what else is the temple of God? The people of God. You know, I almost hate to use the word church because it's come to mean organization. But there is a true church of God. Do you know that? The people that make up the true church of God, they don't all belong to one organization. Most of them don't belong to any organization. Hallelujah. All right, so rise and measure the temple of God. So what are you going to measure, first of all? You're going to say, how do I measure up? How do I measure up? on what basis are you going to measure your temple? What is the standard of the measuring rod that you're going to use? What is the measure that you can always count on? It is always true, it never varies, it never changes. It is the Word of God. So we measure ourselves by the Word of God, not by the traditions of the church, not by the bylaws of an organization, but by the Word of God that is quickened by the Spirit of God. How do I measure up? Now, brethren, you are hearing the Word of God preached. When you are hearing the Word of God under the anointing of the Spirit of God, if you will allow the Word of God to come into your heart, you will allow yourself to be examined by the Word of God. Now you have a choice. You can say, well, that's the way I am, but I don't intend to change. And you know, the heart of man can get very stubborn and very hard. You know, I am very well aware that God has been working on some of us for years and years and years, and He keeps pointing out the same problem, the same problem, the same problem. Some of us, we insist on our rights. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. Somebody touches that thing and I am going to fight to the last dog. Tooth and nail. We will not yield to what God is asking of us. I'm telling you, brethren, if you want to be sons of God, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you're going to have to yield to the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. What is the definition of the sons of God? Those who are what? Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God means that they are under the government of God's Spirit. Would it help if you considered your guardian angel to be a security guard? Watching you like a guard watches a prisoner? Would you yield easier if you could see that? But see, sometimes God has hidden our natural eyes so that we really don't see what's going on in the Spirit. Rise and measure the temple of God. That includes the house of God. The corporate house of God. The gathering of God's people. You know, we have to examine what it is we gather unto. Are we gathering unto God? Or are we gathering unto something else? Are we gathering unto a denomination? God wants this examined also. And this message of the kingdom of God is also meant to examine the corporate house of God as well. There are people who are hearing this word that are in Babylon. They are not in the house of God. They're in the city of religion. Not in the city of the living God. And what is the word of God to those who are in Babylon? Come out of her, my people. God's people have no business staying in Babylon. God's people have no business under the influence of a harlot. You see, that woman that was causing the fall of Samson, yes, she was a natural woman. But God is saying in this hour that it is that spiritual harlot that is still seducing God's people. In Jeremiah it says, we loved Babylon. We would love to have Babylon healed. But the Lord said to Jeremiah, she will not be healed. Therefore, flee from her. Hallelujah. Why do we flee from her? Because her destruction has been scheduled by God. Do you know that if I came and told you your house was going to be destroyed in 1 hour, what would you do? The bulldozer is outside of your door. The bulldozer is as big as your house. I tell you, you have 1 hour. And we are going to start the bulldozer and we're going to destroy your house. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, no, I'm staying in this house, I was born in this house, I was married in this house, my children were born in this house? No, this house cannot be destroyed. 1 hour from now, I hear the diesel motor of the bulldozer starting up. And I hear the clanking of the track as it begins to move forward. The blade is lowered and it begins to move the rocks in front of my house. The house is coming down, brethren. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, maybe I wasn't going to mention it here. In September of last year, sister had a dream. Sister, my wife. Exactly 1 week before we went to Africa, she had a dream that was very short and very simple. There were two houses. There was a house here. There was a house over on this side. The houses looked alike. On the outside, they looked alike. But the Spirit of the Lord said to her, "This house is a new house. This house is an old house." Between the two houses was the bulldozer. You understand what a bulldozer is? Yeah, okay. You have the same word. Okay, I don't know if you call it a caterpillar or whatever. Amen. There was a bulldozer, and the bulldozer was as big as either house. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke one word to her in the dream. One word. Choose. Did I get it right, sister? Close enough. Okay. Choose. What does that mean? You're going to make a choice of which house you want to be in. When you choose, the other house is going to be destroyed. If you want to stay in the old house of religion, you can stay there. But you will never inherit the new house. It will never be yours. If you want the new house, you will never be able to go back to the old city of religion. In other words, God is calling us to this hour to which we will make a decision. Now, let us look at again at what is written here. Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. So you ask yourself the question, what do I have here? Come on, you know what this is, don't you? It's the tabernacle. Does anybody understand? This is the outer court. This is the holy place. This is the most holy place. This is the veil between. Now, when it says measure the house, I'll use the word house, and the altar. So, which altar are we talking about? You know there's an altar out here, don't you? What altar is that? Brazen altar. Okay. There's also an altar here. I put it right here. It's a small altar. Here we have also a lampstand. And here we have a table with the bread on it. I'm not a very good artist. Over here we have the mercy seat and the ark. And we have a brazen laver. Now I'm not going to get into the whole thing on the tabernacle today. What I want to tell you, though, is the altar that is being spoken of is the golden altar here. We say, Brother Mark, how do you know it's that altar? Because the next verse says, leave out the outer court. So the only altar we could be talking about is the altar in the holy place. And therefore, the only temple or house that God is telling us to measure is this house here. In other words, he's not telling us to measure the outer court. Let's talk about the difference here. Let's go to the next verse. He says, measure the altar and them that worship therein. Those that worship in the holy place, we could call that the holy place church, couldn't we? How many of you know there's a holy place people? Amen? Have I lost you? Okay. I got to hear something. Amen. How many of you know that there's an outer court people of God? See, this whole thing represents God's people. But some of God's people are in a place where God doesn't want them. If you're in Babylon and the voice of God is saying, come out of her, my people, why? So that you are not a partaker of her plagues. So that you are not a partaker of the destruction that is coming upon her. And so God is making a provision. He's saying, come out of it and come in to this place. And if you refuse to come out, God is not under any obligation to keep you or protect you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You read the words that he gave the prophets in the Old Testament. He said, if you don't obey what I say, you can cry to me and I will not hear your cry. Why will he not hear their cry? Because he made provision for them to be kept safely. And they would not take it. What did Jesus say when he looked over Jerusalem? 23rd chapter of Matthew. What did he say? He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
That I could have taken you under my wings like a mother hen takes her little ones. He said, Jerusalem, your destruction is coming. I have made provision for your protection. Jesus was crying out to his church. And many of them were stubborn and rebellious, and they would not take the offer of protection. Why? Because it was going to destroy the status quo that they had. Men of the temple had their positions, they had their recognition. They had their titles. They would go to the marketplace. People would stop and say, "Oh, Rabbi, Rabbi." The kingdom of God is going to destroy the old house, brethren. The bulldozer is running. The engine is running. The blade is being moved into position. The tracks are beginning to make the clank, 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 clank. Come on, brethren, it's time to make a decision. Listen, I'm not going to remain in bed when I look out my window and I see that thing coming toward my house. I am going to rise up. I am going to examine where I am. I am going to say the signs of destruction are coming. And I am in the wrong house. Loose, loose, hallelujah. He says, but the court that is without the temple, leave out. This court, leave it out and don't measure it. How many of you do not want to be examined by the Spirit of God in this hour? You don't want to be measured. Good news for you, maybe? You can be here. You will not be measured in this hour anymore. Do you really think that's good news? You don't have your Bibles, I see. You, brother, need to pray that you get Bibles. Pray that God will give you a Bible. You need to be reading these things in the Word of God. You need to be coming to these meetings to see whether what I'm saying is true or not. We are not afraid to let you examine the Word that we bring as well. This Word also must come under the same examination. If we speak a false word, then I want to hear it. And I want to repent. Hallelujah. But leave out the outer court. Can we define what is an outer court church? I said there's a holy place people. A holy place people is where the sons of God are being made in this hour. A holy place church, a holy place people are those who are learning to be led by the Spirit of God. It's not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost, brethren. It's not just that you spoke in tongues 10 years ago. That was a good start. But are you walking and hearing the voice of God every day? Are you calling to the Lord in the morning when you rise? God, I open my heart again to you today. Let me not miss what the Spirit of God would say this day. God, I don't know what to say in my natural being. But if I hear your voice, Lord, I'll speak the word that you give me. But there are many, many Christians who are not walking, being led by the Spirit of God. See, the very pieces of furniture in the outer court tell who they are. What happened at the brass altar? What happened there? Come on, in the time of Moses, what took place at the brass altar? That's where the bull was killed. His blood. Sacrifice. Sacrifice for sins. Amen. So that's the salvation gospel. By the way, I believe the salvation gospel. It's a true word. But you know what? God doesn't want you to stay there. And you know, the sad thing is that gospel is being preached to God's people. They are being told. Well, you were saved 10 years ago, you signed the card, you prayed the prayer. Now it doesn't matter how you live, just go ahead, you're saved. You'll get to heaven. But you know what? The Word of God says, if ye continue. So we are expected to move on from that place. What's the next stop? Brazen what? Brazen labor. And what's in the brazen labor? It's full of water, isn't it? And that is a type of what? Baptism. What's the meaning of baptism? pour a little water on you? Sprinkle a little water? Are you baptized? No. No. You just got wet a little bit. Baptism means that you are totally immersed. So you are baptized in water. You are baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, you don't just get a little Holy Ghost on you. You go completely into the Holy Ghost. And now, there's another step of baptism. God wants us baptized into Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you see, if all I'm preaching to you is salvation and baptism, and now I tell you from now on, try to get as much money as you possibly can, try to prosper as much as you can, live the good life, take as many good holidays as you can, what am I preaching? It's an outer court church. By the way, do you notice the difference in size? Look at all the room there is out here. Crowds of people. Full of crowds. Go to a meeting, maybe you'll find a couple thousand people at the meeting. Big name speaker. Maybe a big name from the US or from Europe somewhere. People having a good time shouting and laughing and outer court. Now you get in here, it's all covered over. There's only one source of light in here. And that is the golden lampstand. Do you know that I had a terrible dream about 2 weeks ago? I dreamed that I was in the holy place. And I dreamed that the light had gone out. I dreamed that I was in there with some of the priests. And the priests were very, very concerned. Because the light had gone out. And they were wondering where they were going to get a light to light the lamp. Well, you say, Brother Mark, why can't they just reach in their pocket and strike a match? Light the lamps again. You see, that's what a couple of Aaron's sons tried. They tried to bring their own light, their own fire, into the holy place. Do you know you can get away with unholy fire out here? There's a lot of unholy fire going on out here in the outer court. A lot of things they call the Spirit of God that is not the Spirit of God, brethren. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been watching some of these things? Do you watch these things on television? Lining people up. Make them fall over. people fall over, they begin to act like chickens and dogs and cows. Unholy fire, brethren. It is not the Spirit of God. Come out of her, my people. Run. Get away from it. Run as fast as you can. This house is going to be destroyed. Listen, you don't believe me that this house is going to be destroyed? Let's read the next verse. But the court which is without the temple, leave out. And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, who are the Gentiles? This is spiritual language, brethren. Spiritual language, Gentiles. It means the world. It means the powers of this world are going to destroy the outer court church system. It means the spirit of the Antichrist is going to destroy the outer court church and the people that are out there. Now, I'm not saying that they can't be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. But in the natural flesh, you are not under protection. Hallelujah. Now you say, well, then this is the safe place to be. By the way, brethren, we all had to start out in the outer court. I had to start out there too. I had to get saved. I had to ask for the blood of Jesus to forgive my sins. I had to go down in the water of baptism. I had to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you know what? That's good for a child. Children have to start in the outer court. But God does not want us to remain children all our life. God wants sons. Sons means mature ones. He wants sons who can be partakers of His divine nature. He wants sons who will be in His likeness. I'm telling you, brethren, the invitation is open to every one of you. How many of you want to tell God you want it? Raise your hand. Some of you are reluctant to raise your hand. Do you want to be sons of God? Do you want the kingdom of God? What are you willing to pay for it? I think it is, isn't it? Matthew 13. The parable of the kingdom. Here we are. Verse 44. 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, in which a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buys the field. To the word that we are preaching, and you say, yes, I want that kingdom. I want to be a son in that kingdom. Okay? You want to buy it? Yes. You can buy it. You will sell everything that you have, and you bought the farm. We have a term in America called bought the farm. It means you bought the whole thing. But you're doing it on purpose. Or, the next verse tells it in a different way. And the kingdom is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, hallelujah. This outer court, brethren, is going to be trampled. Trampled. Destroyed. Trodden underfoot. The world is going to run over it. The armies of the world, the tanks of the world, the police of the world, the governments of the world, the system of the world. Do you want to be in that place? Or would you rather be examined now by the Spirit of God? Now, this is a beautiful chapter, and I haven't come close to getting beyond the second verse. Because the next verse says, I will give power to my two witnesses. I'm not going to get into that a lot. God says, I will give authority to a people. Is a spiritual number. It's not a natural number here. It's not the old historical Elijah and the old Moses. But it's a company of people who have the power that Elijah and Moses had. We have a lot of terms for this people. Two witnesses company. 144,000 company. Man child. Sons of God. Gideon 300 army. You get the picture. God has a place for those who will overcome. And the good news is He's making you an invitation today. He's saying you can be part of this. But you see the alternative. You can be out here and you can be trampled and destroyed. Or you can be here. By the way, do you know, brethren, that we are facing the great and terrible day of the Lord? You know, I'm not going to call a number or a date or anything like that. I'm going to live my life as if it could happen any time this year. That this 42-month clock could start running any time. When I see the events that are happening in the world this very day, when I see the things that are happening in the Mideast, the Arab world, among the Muslims, when I see the spirits of Satan mustering his people up and stirring them up for battle, that's what's happening. These spirits are being stirred up and they want blood. They want blood and they are going to be fed. But you know what? They're not going to feed on us. They're not going to feed on my blood. They're not going to feed on your life. Because we are going to be in the fullness of Christ. I will give power. God says there is a place of authority. Amen. Romans 8. Creation is waiting for what? Manifestation of the sons of God. Does that offend you? It's in the Word. Does that verse offend you? You know, I was in a far western state one time, and I just mentioned that term one time. I said manifestation of sons of God. And some of the people got very angry at me. I said, what is your problem? Oh, we heard that before. I said, but what is the problem? There it is in the Bible. You don't like it. What are you going to do? You're going to cut it out and say, well, this doesn't belong in the Bible? Let's find out what it means. God put it there because it has a meaning for us. It means that there are people that God is going to manifest His power in the last days. It means that creation, it means this world, it means this whole place, this earth that we live, the people. Waiting for the kingdom of God. You see, other kingdoms are going to fall. Do you understand? Kingdom of Philippines, Kingdom of America, Kingdom of Czech Republic, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Name them all. They're all going to fall. Oh, but there are other kingdoms too. Kingdom of finance, Kingdom of education. Let's get a little closer. Kingdom of Pentecostal. Kingdom of church of this and church of that. All the nations, all the denominations. There will be found no Pentecostal, no Baptist in the kingdom of God. No. You won't go into heaven and say, well, I want to be in the Pentecostal section. You go into heaven, you come under the lordship and dominion of the King. Get the segmented thinking out of our mind. It doesn't belong in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's the only kingdom that I'm willing to sell all that I have. I'm willing to buy the whole farm so that I can get the treasure that's buried on the land. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, when you see the things happening in the world that is going to destroy, what are you to do? You are to flee to the mountains. Flee to the higher places. Let me read a few of those verses from Matthew 24. Well, here we are in Luke. Where is it that says, let your loins be girded about? Oh, here it is. Luke 12, 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Let your spirit be alive. You can't let the light go out. If you're going to relight it, you're going to have God to relight it. The light is going to have to come from God. Brethren, I believe that light is being preserved by this message. Keep your clothes ready. Keep your pants on, so to speak. Amen. Be ready to move when God says to move. Hallelujah. Back to Matthew 24. Just a few verses here. He says here, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. to be part of preaching this gospel of the kingdom. Not just this gospel of salvation. Not just this gospel of baptism. But this gospel of the fullness of Christ that is going to take us right to the mercy seat. This message that is going to take you through the veil. This message that speaks of the golden altar. The golden altar, brethren, is the last stop that the priest made before he went through the veil. And it is a place of sacrifice. But it is not the place of dealing with sin. It's the place of dealing with the things in our soul. The things of the flesh should have been dealt with out in the outer court. Now, God is examining our thought processes. Now He's examining the things that our emotions hold on to. When He begins to pry them out of our hand, and there's a scream from our soul saying, "No, no, I don't want to give it up." This is going to have to be given up at the golden altar if you expect to go through the veil and come before the holy throne of God. You know, brethren, you can't even camp here. It says here, "And when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." The holy place people are also in danger of being corrupted. Satan is also invading the spirit-filled people. Is bringing to the spirit-filled people such a power of deception such as has never been seen in the world before. We have been dealing with spiritual conditions in people, and I go home and I say, "I have never, ever seen such a deception in all my life." People absolutely convinced in their own mind that they are right. And yet, the witness of others who God has set to watch and guard over the souls of men are saying, "No, you're going the wrong way." So, brethren, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. It's a another picture of the old house. In other words, you've come up above it. You're not down in the old house anymore. You've come up to the roof. When you see the earth begin to shake, when you see the heavens begin to shake, don't go back down into the old house of religion again. Don't go back into the things that you've come out of already. And it says, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. It's another picture. You've come out. When you see the trouble, don't go running back in to try to take up your old way of self-righteousness. That's what your old clothes speak of, your old righteousness, your old laws, your old rules. Do this, do that, say it this way, don't say it that way. Things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. I'm going to finish with one verse from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. I can almost quote it, but I'm going to read it. Make sure I get it right. The Lord spoke this verse to us several years ago. I went to the computer and I printed a sign about this big with large letters. Verse 20. Come, my people. What is God always saying to his people? Come. First he says, come out of her. Now he's calling us in. You know, when God says come, it means we go toward him. Do you know that when God called Noah to go into the ark, he didn't say, Noah, go into the ark? He said to Noah, come into the ark. That means it's a place where God was. He's calling us to himself. See, this is what a shepherd does to sheep. What do you call people that take care of cows? Cowboys? A cowboy drives the cows. A shepherd calls the sheep. And this is Jesus, the good shepherd. First he says, come out of her. Come out of Egypt. Come out of Babylon. Now come out of the outer court. And when you see the abomination of desolation come into the holy place, he's calling us again. He says, come, my people, into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. He's talking about the secret place of the Most High. He's talking about having done your business at the golden altar and now coming before the mercy seat. Brethren, this is the only place that will not be touched in the last days. You don't need a catch-away rapture to save you. You need to come into the most holy place. It's going to be a place to walk that you have never walked before. It's going to be a place that you have only had a vision of. It's going to be a place where you will walk as Jesus walked on this earth. We will walk as He walked. We will talk as He walked. Greater things than these shall ye do, He said. Do you want to be part of that people? Come, my people. Enter into thy chambers. Shut the doors. God shut the door of the ark. And there is a door being shut even now as we speak. Even now, we are proclaiming the Word of God says that there is a door that is in the process of closing. Decisions are being made that will affect your destiny. You will make that decision before these meetings are over. You say, no, Brother Mark, I don't think I'm ready to make that decision. Then you have made that decision. Because the door is being shut.
Amen.
You don't have that much longer to linger about. Shut the doors. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Until the indignation is over and past. And I finish the last verse here. For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place. You see, the Lord is being stirred up in His place. He's coming out, and He's going to deal with the situation. It's just like when He went down to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. He was stirred up. He said to Abraham, the smell of that place has come to me. This is my translation. This is mine. This is not the Word of God. And I'm going to see if it's as bad as it smells. And it was. It was as bad as the smell that went into the spiritual realm. And we are smelling the stench of this earth today. If we are smelling it, how much more does it offend a holy God? He's coming out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. being exposed, brethren. You can expose it now to God and have it covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Or you can wait until this day and it will be exposed to the whole world. Another choice. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.